This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. Again, we're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, if you would like to contact me, as per usual, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, this program can be re-listened to on the website, and there is a weekly meditation on the website that you might find helpful. So if you need those addresses, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, today I have a nagging cough. I hope I don't do too much coughing on this program. But if I'm going to have a program for you, I'm going to have to take that risk. I don't have a cough button, so you'll have to bear with me if this cough gets in the way of this program. I want to go back to Luke chapter 22 and verse 47, where we left off last time. Luke 22 and 47 says, "And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him." And you'll remember that Judas had gone to the leaders of the Jews and had agreed to betray the Lord with a kiss, and he had gotten 30 pieces of silver in order to do that. Now, it's interesting that the leaders of the Jews, these scribes, these Pharisees, these lawyers, needed to have someone point out who Jesus was. That is something that has always interested me, because here they are worrying about him taking their place as the leaders and the teachers of Israel, and they're worried about people following him. They're worried about him becoming someone who competes with them for their position, and yet they still aren't absolutely certain that they've got the right man when they go into that garden, or they wouldn't have been certain that they had the right man when they went into that garden if Judas hadn't been willing to betray the Lord with a kiss. Now, I realize they were going to do this under cover of darkness, and likely they had with them some fire on some staffs that were on fire and so forth in order to give them light. But certainly the light would not have been very good. So that may be the reason for this. But we're looking at Judas, who was one of the disciples, who's willing to betray the Lord with a kiss. This is hypocrisy. I look at it that Judas was using the one thing that we use to express our love in a very intimate way to betray the Lord. And I wonder if symbolically this isn't a lesson for us. I wonder how many of us have kissed the Son, but have still betrayed the Son. There's a lot of people today who really claim to be followers of the Lord. They claim to be lovers of the Lord. But when I talk to them about how they came to know the Lord, I never hear them tell me about what the Lord has done for them. I never hear them tell me about their own sin and how they need to be saved. I hear them talk about what they have done. I hear them talk about their decisions. I hear them talk about their commitments. I hear them talk about what they are doing. But I don't hear them talk about that humility that comes when we find out that as sinners Christ died for us, and we love him because he first loved us. But how did he show that he loved us? He showed that he loved us by dying for us at the cross of Calvary. And I think it's very possible for us today to be professing believers who profess love for the Lord, who have never been touched by Calvary and have never understood the value of the blood. And in many cases we are encouraging people to deny simple truths taught in the New Testament, even in some cases denying the Pauline epistles as being inspired by God. We're doing that and still saying that we're Christians. And in many cases, what we're saying is that we like to walk according to Christian principles, but we're not saying that we really love the Lord. And so we not only have ourselves been hypocritical with regard to our love, if that's our case, but we are leading others down that same path, as though coming to know the Lord and loving him is a very simple thing that does not involve this matter of conviction of sin, repenting and believing. And so I just asked myself how many that are listening to me today would claim to be kissing the Son and loving Him, but how many have betrayed Him by teaching people to walk contrary to the principles of Scripture? We have that we have a moral law in the Bible, and when we are saved, that moral law ought to guide us. And when we tell people that the moral law has changed because society has changed, it makes me wonder. I understand the need to be sympathetic toward people who are caught up in problems, addictions, problems, personality difficulties, and so forth that we would call sinful. I understand our need to be sympathetic, but the standard is the standard. We cannot walk away from the standard. But when we walk away from the standard, oftentimes it's because we ourselves have never understood that while some people have sin manifested in one way, in our lives it may be manifested in another way. And the basic way sin is manifested in the lives of most of us is through pride, through thinking that we're okay, thinking that we are the standard by which the rest of the world ought to be judged. And I believe sincerely that a person can say they are followers of the Lord, and because of that pride, they can still be betraying the Lord with a kiss. And I'm looking at this symbolically because Judas, of course, was simply trying to use the Lord in order to obtain monetary blessing in his own life. And so, Luke 22 and verse 48, Jesus said, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with a sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now, if we go to John, I believe it is, it's quite clear this is Peter. And at this point, Peter had meant it when he said he would be willing to die with the Lord, but he strikes off the right ear of the servant. And I think we need to stop here for a minute and understand that this must have confused Peter, because here he was defending the Lord. He had said he'd be willing to die with the Lord, and now, in a sense, the Lord is going to rebuke him for using that sword. And he must have been a little bit confused about how to really enjoy or how to really enjoy the Lord's presence and how to really defend him as he ought. So he cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. He cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this," or "allow even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." And so when we look at this scene, this is where Satan is making his attempt to destroy the sacrifice that will occur at the cross, and yet he's falling right into God's plan. This is your hour and the power of darkness. This happened in the dark. That seems to be why they needed a betrayer. But really, it's a picture of the darkness of our own world today. What will the darkness be like for one who dies without Christ? What's that going to be like? What will the darkness be like during the tribulation period when men call for the rocks to fall on them because the great day of the wrath of the Lamb has come? And it's interesting that the Lord came as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But when you come to Revelation 6, it's the great day of the wrath of the Lamb. Those of us that are saved have been delivered from the wrath to come. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And so we who are saved are delivered from that wrath, but the wrath is coming, and it's easy to be a little careless and self-satisfied and filled with pride and self-confident today when the Lord is sort of allowing men to run rampant and do whatever they want to do and to be unbridled and uncontrolled. But there's a day coming when the great day of his wrath is going to come. And I just wonder, it's the darkness is a picture of the absence of Christ, who is the light. And when the great day of the wrath of the Lamb comes, what's that going to be like? There's going to be a fear that people have never experienced before. And it's interesting that it's the day of the wrath of the Lamb. As the Lord is led away from the garden, he is becoming the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And normally lambs die without a lot of noise. They don't do a lot of bleeding. They don't do a lot of they don't make a lot of resistance to their when they're butchered, when they're being killed. They don't resist. And it's a very quiet, as I understand it, not having been there, it's a very quiet place where they are killed. And the Lord, of course, was silent before his accusers, but you don't often see an angry lamb. Now, you might see an angry ram, that is the male of the species, but you don't see an angry lamb, and yet you're going to see one in the tribulation period. Today, the Lord is offering mercy, but there's a day coming when he is going to be angry, and his anger is going to be seen on the part of those nationally and individually who have rejected him. This world thinks that they can do whatever they want with the Lord Jesus, but ultimately the Lord is going to sit on his throne, and ultimately the Lord is going to judge the world for what happened at the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary can either be that which saves us, or it is going to be that which condemns us, depending on our attitude toward what happened there. If I were to take you back to Psalm 2, in verse 12 says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." And so, even in the Old Testament, it's laid out before us. Do you want the curse, or do you want the blessing? Judas, he betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss, but it was a hypocritical kiss. This kiss in Psalm chapter 2 is the kiss of one who has trusted and does love the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. The Lord is going to hold those who have rejected him accountable. And we talk a lot about accepting the Lord, but we need to also talk about the cost of rejecting the Lord, because you do one or the other. You either accept the truth of Scripture, you either accept what God says about his Son, and you come to trust in the Son through the Scripture, or you reject it all and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. In Psalm 2, there's a lot said about how the nations are going to stand against the Lord and how he's going to be resisted. But ultimately, it comes down to this: kiss the Son. Not like Judas kissed him, but kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program, upon those who have listened. Use all that has been of thyself. We thank thee for thy love, in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.